morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you been?
Baseball being interrupted.
Yeah, it's not really melting fast enough for you to be uninterrupted.
Yeah, well, the ball's white, the snow's white, that creates issues.
That creates some issues for sure, and I don't think you're the only one. I was talking to somebody the other day about soccer and some soccer tryouts, and they already had to push that for 2 weeks, so... Mm-hmm. Seems like it's still a little chilly and hanging around out there, but the home market has adjusted and people are back out looking and they are making it happen. We're doing more deals than I thought we'd be doing this time of year. So it's still, it's a little bit cooler, obviously, all the way around, but things are still going under contract. Buyers are still out there looking. And like we say, the buyers that are looking during this are very serious buyers. We also have with us our resident in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good. And you're right about contracts and buyers and all those things, because now that the access is a little bit easier, for a while there, no one was on the road. No one could get anywhere. Essential only kind of things.
Yes.
And then in the last week, all of a sudden, the roads dried out a little bit better. And now we can go look at houses. And so I had a few contracts come in and get rolling and more people out looking. And so it's, you know, it's going to be crazy here when it all breaks and then there's no limitations. And
yeah.
I mean, the sun's out and...
Yes, I really think we're going to have just a crazy, crazy couple weeks when... all this finally melts and we get that first big heat wave.
Can you imagine it being 50 degrees?
Well, I did sneak away on the Allegiant flight to Phoenix, so I don't have to imagine, because I did jump down there for a couple days and watch my son play his last hockey tournament of the season. But yes, I wanted to bring it all back with me. and so I hope it follows and melts quickly, because yeah, 50 felt amazing. So looking forward to that. If though it's cold outside and you're looking for something to do with cheap entertainment, our local story is right now today. Tri-Cities Regional Home and Garden Show going on out there at track. Started yesterday, going on today, opens in about 35, 40 minutes, 10 o'clock, 10 to 7 today, and then also 10 to 4 tomorrow. So Admission out there, $6 for adults, and kids 12 and under are free. And if you bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the Salvation Army, they're going to give you $1 off your admission price.
Well, that's worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Supports a great cause. Totally worth it. Now, we always like to give some tips. So we're going to talk about that as part of today's stories of what we think people will be looking at out there at the Home and Garden Show. And then as a result of that, it's the time of year where we talk a lot about new construction, remodeling, picking a builder. And so we're going to give you some tips before that show. Before we get to that, though, we always like to do our crazy celebrity real estate story. And this is billionaire Stephen Cohen. He runs a hedge fund. Recently put his, I love how they call it a triplex, which is three units combined to one, not the type of triplex we are thinking of.
Manhattan has a different triplex than Tri-Cities.
It has a different triplex definition than we do. But this is in a building that was built in 1906, designed by architect Ralph Townsend. Gorgeous looking building. But in 2013, it was converted into a boutique building, which just had 10 large residences in it. And it includes a 1,200 square foot main bedroom suite, And Mike, I think that was bigger than my first house.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Me too. So, total of 9,600 square feet right there in New York's West Village. So it was interesting as I started looking through the listing photos. I'd never seen this before in quite this way. All of the pictures that were hanging on the wall were blurred out in the listing photos for this property listing. So then I read on further, a little deeper in the article, come to find out that he owns a $1 billion art collection. And this property in New York was built not only as a residence, he has like four other residences, but it was for entertaining and where he showcased his art collection.
See, now I thought the art maybe was in witness protection or something, so they had to blur it out.
It was not in witness protection. It was not inappropriate. But what they didn't want is they didn't want these listing photos of the property going everywhere. And he probably more than likely has some pieces that people don't know he has, nor do they want people knowing that he has
them.
Wow. So anyway.
So how much for this triplex, Lance?
$33 million. Which I think is just a fancy storage locker for his $1 billion art collection.
Actually, it's one big bedroom, 9,600 square foot bedroom.
One big bedroom. So there's our crazy celebrity real estate story. But back to our local story and on to our topic today is one of the things we wanted to talk about is you've got the Tri-Cities Regional Home and Garden Show going on today. And with that in light, I ran across some other local numbers as I was researching for the show this week. And there was a study that looked at Bend County and said, okay, how many potential first-time home buyers would there be in the market right now? Are people that fall in that age of 27 to 35? And that number was right around 4,400 in just Benton County alone. And then it said, based upon historical data, how many of those people have bought houses? How many likely transactions would that be in 2019? And that number was around 1,750. Now, if we look last year at just new construction, there was only 1,300 permits that were for new construction homes. And they're leaving a shortfall of still roughly 400 homes. So it just kind of reaffirmed the fact we talk about low inventory on the market and there being less homes on the market. And what do people do when they can't find what they want to buy? They build. And so with the home show going on and the home garden show right now, it's a perfect time to think about building. And one of the reasons is you're going to get a lot of great ideas. If you go to this home and garden show, it's a great time for you to be able to look at a number of different builders, a number of different contractors, and most of them will have their portfolios out there. And so you can go through their portfolio and see some of the things that they're doing. And so one of the things we tell our clients is use this as an opportunity to save you some time and get a feel for three or four different builders that you're potentially considering. Now, before we get too far into that process, I wrote down five of the reasons as kind of my outline of why you're going to want your own representation and your own agent when you make that final selection of your builder. And so the number one thing that I wrote down is you're going to want help finding a reputable builder. You're going to have questions about how you work and how you like to do things. And just the way there is with, you know, husband and wives, boyfriend, girlfriends, there's a personality match there that's going to need to work. And there's some builders that are going to work fantastic for certain clients, and it might be an absolute train wreck for other clients. And so not only are you looking at reputation, but you're looking at personality and you're looking at quality of work.
Buildermatch.com.
Buildermatch.com. That's exactly what I want to be for our listeners, Mike, for sure. The other thing that I wrote down as I started to go through this process is that I think a lot of times when people start looking, and the specific data that said, you know, let's do this show this week when I was talking to Mike was there's different categories of new construction, and a lot of time people are confused about this process. And it can especially be confusing to a first-time home buyer or somebody that's never gone through this before. So I really wrote down three different categories of builder that we see a lot, and we can start to talk about some of the differences and similarities. So the very first one that I wrote down was spec/production builder. And so what a spec home is that is when a builder takes his own money, goes into a subdivision, finds a lot, and builds the home exactly like that builder wants to. He does not have an end client. He thinks maybe potentially a customer in mind or the way he wants to build. But that builder just builds that home the way he wants to. When it's done, then he will put it on the market as a finished product. Now, production builders kind of get lumped into this category sometimes also because they're going out and they're building, you know, 20, 30 homes, you know, a month. And so they're building them a certain way. They have a certain plan that they keep reusing, certain colors that they use, certain trades that they use, and they build the house the way they see fit, and then when it's done, put it on the market. So that's a spec production builder. What are the advantages of this? Well, number one, you know exactly what you're getting because it's a finished product. You can walk through it. You can look, see, touch, feel. And so you know exactly what you're getting. The second advantage that I wrote down for this type of building is that it's an easier process. Have you ever heard the saying that we almost got divorced when we were building a house? That's because it's a very stressful process.
It's not just a saying.
It's not just a saying. Mike says
it actually happens.
He's seen it before. There's a reason why it's a saying. So it's easier. It's a lot easier to save yourself the time and those decisions and what you're doing. And then the third thing I wrote down is generally it is more cost effective or cheaper. I don't want to say cheaper because not all spec houses have cheaper finishes or cheaper workmanship. But overall, for square footage, when you're looking at those production homes, they're able to have some economies of scale and save by buying in bulk and save by not having to redraw the same house plans every time.
Less custom options, more streamlined.
Absolutely. And so you'll generally find more value. So first-time home buyers will many, many times fall into this category of looking at purchasing a spec or a production style built house. The second category that I wrote down was semi-custom. So semi-custom, you might think of builders in this category. You might come across like New Tradition Homes or Viking Homes or even Polish or Prodigy in our markets. A lot of different builders in our markets are semi-custom. They might have 7 or 8 plans that they really like working with. So they've put that overhead and expense in and had their architect draw those. But they are more willing to say in the process, well, here's our 6 or 7 plans, but we could move this wall 10 feet. Or instead of 4 bedrooms, we could make this 3 bedroom and a den and not put a closet in here. So they're more willing to make minimal changes to those plans and also involve you in the picking of maybe the tile or the wall colors or the sinks or the fixtures. So that's a semi-custom build. Now, the third one and the last one, which we're kind of getting to, would just be full custom construction, meaning when you hire that builder to build that house, you're less picking a house and you're more picking a builder to fulfill your vision of what you're building. He very well likely, that project, when it's full custom, he will likely have never built that house before. You went to your architect and you drew up your dream house and you and the architect came up with the floor plan and the square footages and the finishes. And that builder is now going to build that specific vision for you. Generally speaking, as we go through that list from spec to semi-custom to custom, the price goes up. And then not only does the price go up, we have to look at how are we going to finance these different new construction builds? Ooh. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Mike Denslow about financing options in the three different categories of building and what he sees people needing to look out for.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking about looking for builders, going out, checking out today the Tri-Cities Regional Home and Garden Show. And before the break, we kind of talked about styles of builds. When you're looking at new construction, the difference between a spec builder, a semi-custom builder, and then a full custom. And before the break, we mentioned, gosh, we need to talk to Mike Denslow about what are the different factors he's thinking about and some of the things people forget to think about in these scenarios. So, Mike, give us a little rundown on new construction financing.
Well, in your first example where the house is already done, that's the easiest, right? Because that's just a regular loan. You get under contract and you buy the house. So that's FHA, VA, conventional, whatever.
So much like the buyer, I said it's easiest for the buyer because they make no decision. The house is existing. That's the easiest for you as the lender.
Yep, same. And then if they do a semi-custom or what I'll call a pre-sold spec where they're picking things out and it's a spec builder that's building it but making some changes, then you can get long-term locks. A lot of lenders, not all of them, do long-term locks and then allow you to lock it for the course of construction and then you get a loan at the end. So again, not too much different. And then if you go custom, well, then that's full-on custom construction loan, that's a different animal.
Yeah, and now back up just one category to the semi-custom. I had written down some notes of things that we run into. And one of the things that can happen sometimes with a semi-custom, and I know this can affect financing, is we have to kind of keep an eye on our upgrades. Because what's going to happen is we're going to go into a development where there are 22 homes that are very, very similar. And so the builder has built this 22 different times and he has kind of his middle of the road standard package. And so that house has appraised. One might have appraised for 300, one might have appraised for 305, one might have appraised for 299. They're all kind of in that pocket of appraisals. But you go in and you talk with the builder of the semi-custom home and you say, gosh, you know what I would really like you to do is I would like you to put, you know, full granite everywhere. I know you haven't done granite everywhere, only in the kitchen on the other houses, but I want to do the bathrooms and I want to do this little mini bar in the master bedroom. And then let's put on a covered patio pergola and a swimming pool in the back. And let's lump this all into my loan with financing. Well, the problem is you might have now just added with that builder, you might have added $70,000 worth of upgrades. When the appraiser comes to use comparable home sales, he's going to pull those other 20 that we were talking about and he's going to say, gosh, we have a contract here that this person is trying to finance. And they are, you know, they are trying to finance it and the purchase price is $370,000. But my last five comparables that are all the same square footage, same neighborhood, same year built, say that this house should be 310. So I'm going to give them just a little bit of a bump and I'm going to give them, say, I'm going to say, well, gosh, they do have all these extras. Maybe we'll go to 340. Well, let's say in that scenario, you were doing a loan where you were only putting 10% down. And so you were putting, so in this case at 370, you're putting 37,000 down. Mm-hmm. And you come up and look and they're like, okay, well, we're only, you know, we're only willing to finance 90% of the appraised value. So you thought you were putting $37,000 down and you were going to be financing 340. So now the bank says, well, the house we believe by the appraised value is only worth 340. You need to put 10%, you know, we'll only finance 90% of that. Mm-hmm. So now the bank says we're only willing to do the loan for 315. Ooh. Not 340. And you have put all this extra money in the house. Now you can't get the loan and the financing because of all the upgrades. And the builder is sitting there stuck with a house that has a swimming pool, all these personal upgrades, and the builder can't resell it because of the appraisal. He now doesn't think he can resell it for any more than 340. So one of the things you have to watch for in the semi-custom market is over-improving. And that's another reason why we advocate people to have an agent on their side of the fence, in their corner, going through this process with them and talking about, hey, here's what upgrades we're looking at. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times what happens, which makes people very nervous, and you have to be careful about, is a lot of times the builder will take the, will require those upgrades to be prepaid in advance with a deposit, with a non-refundable deposit. Mm-hmm. So in that example, we gave $70,000 in upgrades. The builder a lot of times will not do all those upgrades unless they have a non-refundable deposit. So now you're looking at a situation where you've put in a deposit for all these upgrades. You can't get finance for the amount you need to. You're losing your deposit. But the builder has done that as a protection to themselves so they don't get stuck with an overimproved house.
So if you have an agent helping you, they can go, hold on.
Many, many times we've reviewed those contracts for people and said, okay, here's what you need to be careful about. You need to think about appraisal. You need to call your lender back and talk to your lender about what's going to happen if the house doesn't appraise for the amount of all those upgrades. And so having that conversation ahead of time and making those decisions, a lot of times we get with people after the fact, and these are the phone calls that I hate, where they're like, I put down $15,000 non-refundable, it didn't appraise, and now I can't get the house. I mean, those are the worst phone calls because we can't go back and fix those situations. So over improving on the semi-custom is a big thing that we look out for. Now, Mike, on the full custom side of things,
you'd almost be better to do a full custom if that's what you want to do.
If that's what you want to do, and what you have to be careful about, McKay, and that's a very intuitive question, is generally what Mike's going to talk about, I think, next is in the full custom realm, generally you're going to require more down as a bank.
Yeah, typically I would say most places in town are comfortable with 20% down. They might have, you know, a 10% down custom option, but they want to see that people have the wherewithal if it doesn't appraise, if costs go over for whatever reason. And so that's why there's a lot more requirements on a custom loan.
Absolutely. And Mike brings up a great point. Can you weather it if there's cost overruns, if the appraisal is a little light? A lot of times when you build full custom, that's something you're building just for yourself. That doesn't mean just because it costs $400,000 to build, that doesn't mean the market might see that as only $350,000, because the market doesn't want to pay for some of those custom touches that only mean more to you.
Well, Lance, I mean, we've seen this. You know, somebody takes a 2,000 square foot plan and they talk to a custom builder and it comes back at, you know, $500,000.
Yes.
And because of all of the upgrades and because of all the custom work that they want done. Well, we know that that's never going to appraise for for that $500,000, so it might appraise for $400,000 or so, and then the client has needs to have the ability to make up that difference, or it's not going forward.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, on these full customs, they'll be on special lots where the view is worth a lot personally to the client, the privacy is. And so the appraisers just don't put an amount on that and can't really. There's not a great mechanism to do it.
They have to justify the appraised value with like and similar recent sales.
Yep. And so that is not a perfect science. So
something
that's
what, to remember when you're going to resell it down the road, See, I pay attention.
It really is. So those are some of the things that we're having people look out for. Mike is fantastic at working on those. Our teams work really well together. If you're out at the home show and you find these three or four different builders that you're interested in talking to and looking at, go to KenmoreTeam.com. Shoot us a message. This is what we do. We can help you narrow that list down. Now, before we go, you might just say, what's out there to buy? Here's a quick pick three. There are new homes coming on the market. 2458 Brody Lane in Richland. This is a four-bedroom, two-bath. This is called the Florence by Ambiance Homes. This is the West Village location. Fantastic location out there, Badger South area, 2575 square feet, quality craftsmanship and details throughout this home. Absolutely tons of counter and cabinet space. You've got an island with an eating bar, walk-in pantry, private upper level master retreat, just has an awesome bath with dual sink vanity, soaking tub. Absolutely fantastic, brand new construction, the Florence by Ambiance Homes, and this is coming in at 409.9. Pick number two, 6307 Fenway Drive in Pasco. This is a three-bed, two-bath Rambler. These are the ones everybody's looking for as that entry level. We talked about the first-time home buyers on the show, so I put this on there. Just under 1,500 square feet, three-bed, two-bath, West Pasco, new laminate wood floors, great kitchen, family room off the kitchen, corner gas fireplace, fully fenced backyard, RV parking, $240,000. That's the price point that's really, really hard to find. The next price point I hesitate even mentioning because these do not come up very often. 1966 Mahan Avenue in Richland. This is a three-bedroom, one-bath North Richland condo. 1136 square feet, vaulted ceilings, natural wood beams, large living room, corner wood stove, separate dining area with a slider off to the patio, two really spacious bedrooms. You've got a storage shed, an attached covered carport, monthly HOA dues cover exterior maintenance, garbage, and irrigation. And that's priced at $137,500. Wow. Like we do not get that many of those in that price point anymore. So even with the temperatures and the snow we've had, there's a lot of real estate transactions still going on. Have a fantastic time if you're out at the Regional Home and Garden Show. Mm-hmm. Look around, take some notes, and when you need to make action out of that, go to KenmoreTeam.com, shoot us a message. We would love to help. And when you need the financing on that, get a hold of Mike Denslow. Mike, how can people get a hold of you?
572-3651.
And we will be right back here next week on News Talk 870.